Thank you, and good morning to everyone. Welcome to the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District this April 27th, 8 a.m. At this time, I'll go to our published agenda items, and item number one is Pledge of Allegiance. So, Ruben, can you please tee that up for us? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll for us?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Present.
President Chavez?
Here. Thank you. Let the record show that all members are present. We'll go to item number three, which is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Trevino.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented. Hearing no discussions, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number four, public comments. This is the time where anyone wishing to discuss any items may do so at this time. There's a three-minute time limit on the remarks as requested. And this is not a scheduled public hearing, so this is the only opportunity for public comments. So, Vanessa, do we have any written or oral comments that the public wish to share with us?
President Chavez, we have not received any written comments. However, if anyone does wish to make a comment now, you may use the raise hand feature. And I'm not seeing any raised hands, President.
Okay. And we'll move on to item number five, consent calendar. There is 5A, 5B that's available. So, is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Fellow.
Second, Trevino.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you for that vote. It passes on a 5-0 approval. We'll go to item number six, pretty much the meat of this meeting. Item number six is the water supply update and drought actions. And Mr. Love, can you start that discussion for us?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you, President Chavez. So I think everyone is fully aware that yesterday at the Metropolitan Water District Board of Directors, they did take action to implement some emergency water conservation measures for the state water project dependent areas, of which we are one. Over the past several months, I have kept the board informed of the developing situation. We've also had many discussions with Watermaster and our customers, the producers, at various meetings leading up to this moment. So what I'm going to do so that the directors are fully informed of the action that Metropolitan took yesterday is I'm going to present Met's presentation and go over the details of what their what the action they took and the situation. Also want to let you know that Watermaster has scheduled a special basin management committee this afternoon to go into further detail on the situation for the San Gabriel Valley and the main San Gabriel groundwater basin and talk about what is our best course of action to go forward for the health of the basin and for our water supply situation. So today I don't have any specific actions recommended for our board to take. But at the conclusion, I believe it'd be appropriate for the board to give us direction to develop some potential actions for consideration by the Upper District Board of Directors at a future meeting. So with that, if you would bring up the Metropolitan presentation, I'll go through that. Directors, are there any questions or comments at this point before I go into the presentation? All right. So this was done at a special Metropolitan Board meeting. The main action item was to declare a water shortage emergency condition, adopt emergency water conservation program, and express support for the governor's executive order. Next slide. And these are just, this is just the actions that were recommended and adopted by the Met Board yesterday. So how did we get into this situation? So on the State Water Project and most of California, but the watersheds that serve the State Water Project, we are in the third dry year, and this year and the last 2 years are representing the driest 3 years in the historical record. Never seen this before. This chart shows the departure in terms of precipitation in those watersheds. Beginning in 2020, there was a 15% state project allocation. 2021, it continued to decline. The governor issued several executive orders during that time frame related to the drought and water supply. 2021 was a 5% allocation on the State Water Project. Near the end of 2021, the Department of Water Resources announced the initial state project allocation at 0%. That's a historic low. It's never been 0% before. Any time during, as they modify the allocation during the season, it's never been zero. But we all recall those rains we received, not only here in Southern California, but Northern California in December, were tremendous for the Northern California watersheds. And given what happened then and anticipating, let's say, a little less than normal precipitation in the spring months of January, February, and March, at the end of January, DWR increased the allocation to 15%. Which was certainly a relief for all of us who were looking at a potential 0% allocation. However, the 3 months, January through March, I think you can jump to the next slide. Normally, the wettest months of the year were the driest on record for those 3 months. And so as a result, on March 18th, DWR reduced the allocation from 15% to 5%, and that's what we're dealing with today. So to put this in perspective and to share with you what a substantial departure this is from normal precipitation, on average, Metropolitan expects to get about 3.2 million acre feet over a three-year period from the State Water Project. When DWR has released their forecast prior to this event this year, their lowest forecast would have resulted in Metropolitan receiving 1 million acre feet over that three-year period. What we're seeing now is, in fact, we are experiencing much lower than even DWR's lowest forecast at 0.6 million acre feet, 40% less than DWR's lowest forecast. Next slide. So there's been responses all along the way, both from the state, from Metropolitan Water District, and by Upper District, going all the way back to 2020, where MWD, using their existing system infrastructure and those areas that can receive a blend of state project water and Colorado River water, they begin to reduce the use of state project water to preserve those supplies and move more Colorado River water into their system. And so currently the treated water coming from Metropolitan from the Weymouth plant is 100% Colorado River water. And so to the extent some of our producers do have connections to that treated system, we're working with them to increase their use of that treated water and reduce their pumping of groundwater. Metropolitan also took actions on their water supply demand response. To move water out of some of their storage programs, semi-tropic and Kern storage. They began operating the Colorado River Aqueduct at full capacity. As the board is aware, Metropolitan, ironically, has a record amount of water in storage in the Colorado River system, but unfortunately we can't access that Colorado River water right now for our needs or the other state project dependent areas. Next slide. So they made some modifications and to be able to move Diamond Valley Lake water into the Mills plant. Now, while Diamond Valley Lake is state project supplies, it is state project supplies that can't be returned to the state water project dependent areas. But the use of that does help reduce the further delivery of state project water to Diamond Valley. So it is helpful. You may have heard about the Gregg Avenue Pump Station. That is a facility in the West San Fernando Valley that enables more treated met water, again, Colorado River supplies, to be pushed up into that part of the system to reduce the use of state project water on the West Branch going through Castaic Lake. Next slide. So in that time frame, there were some actions taken by the MET Board, but the Upper District Board in, I believe it was September of 2021, did make a declaration and moved to our Water Shortage Contingency Plan Stage 2. So we did that all the way back in early last fall. So again, there were some further actions by Governor Newsom, a drought emergency declared for the state project dependent areas by Metropolitan in November. But then I talked about those December storms that we got in 2021. Next slide. So yeah, while those improved supplies looked like we were going to get through this year with a little less pain than we're experiencing now, but still, Metropolitan did move forward and adopt a reverse cyclic storage program. Now that that is in effect, if this drought continues, that will be tremendously helpful for Upper District and the producers within Watermaster. They have adopted their capital improvement plan to include some work on some other facilities to expand the use of Colorado River water further into their state water project dependent areas, and continue to move on some north of Delta transfers and other storage programs or water transfer programs to help shore up those supplies. And then what they took yesterday was the action on the drought actions that we'll discuss in further detail. Why don't you go ahead and go to the next slide? So what they talked about is they're about 220,000 acre feet short of supply. So they'll use their Colorado River Aqueduct where they can deliver that water. They've got that small green bar, which is their state project water supplies, which are pretty minimal. They have their water supply demand management actions. That's their storage programs, transfers, other actions they can take to shore up some of the water supply, but they're still 220,000 acre feet short for the state project dependent area. Next slide. And why don't you click through a couple of slides here. So the orange or pinkish bar show the projected demand, and this would be considered what is normal demand. And the white diamonds show what actually occurred in January, February, March. The blue bars show their state project supplies, except for the health and safety supplies that are provided for under DWR's policies. So without that health and safety supply, you see those red bars are the supply demand gap. Next slide. So the health and safety supplies are quite helpful. They do add quite a bit to the supply, but there is still a supply demand gap. The other thing to mention is in order to be able to get health and safety supplies, Metropolitan and the service area that's served by state project water needs to demonstrate what is termed as robust and mandatory water use restrictions. It does not define what those are other than the word robust, and mandatory, I think, is pretty straightforward. So to get these supplies, the service area does need to demonstrate that they are taking efforts to reduce demands. Next slide. Next slide. So if we can get this additional conservation, there is a way that we can make it through the end of this year. And when I say we, in this case, I'm speaking collectively for the state project dependent areas of Metropolitan, and make those supplies last through the end of the year. Next slide. So there are some nuances in this that have been discussed, and I'll get into more of them in a little later. But essentially, what is health and safety supply? It is the water needed for domestic supply, fire protection, and sanitation. And domestic supply does not mean outdoor water. That is what we use in our homes to cook, bathe, clean, and that's health and safety supplies. And that basis is 55 gallons per person per day. So we use the population numbers to calculate how much of health and safety supplies are available within that state project dependent areas. It's important to note it does not include any commercial water uses, although we do have some essential businesses that operate, obviously, in this service area. And it does not include outdoor water use. Next slide. This just tells us that we've had a lot of dialogue. We started this dialogue starting 9 months ago with Metropolitan. And it's been a roller coaster because of the changing conditions from 0% to 15% and back down to 5%. Has really been a challenge to come up with a plan, an approach in a timely manner. Next slide. So here's what the Met Board considered. Next slide. All right, so the goals are to preserve the water supplies this year, make it through the end of this calendar year, and also to be in a position to be prepared for a fourth year of drought. So the approach is to use those health and safety supplies to help us achieve that and possibly create some carryover water if we get some supply conditions improving. I don't think we're optimistic that that would occur. But if we can, then we can put that water somewhere where it can be available for use in a future year. Next slide. So Metropolitan did this as a public hearing under the Water Code. They made a declaration. This is declared when ordinary demands cannot be satisfied without depleting water for human consumption. And to conserve the water supply for the greatest public benefit with priority for human health and safety. And then to establish priorities for the use of water for other purposes. And the result is an action to limit non-essential outdoor water use. Next slide. So that was what was discussed at the Metropolitan Water Planning and Stewardship Committee in March was path one, which is limit outdoor watering. But following that meeting, some public comment, the Metropolitan staff went back and came up and worked with the member agencies who are in the state project dependent area because we're not all the same. Our situation out here on the east side of that area is different than those on the west side. Cayegas, Las Virgenes, and Los Angeles Department of Water and Power on the west branch of the state water project, and given their local water supply conditions, they're in a different situation than those out on the west side. So IUA, Three Valleys, and Upper District are looking at path two. I'm not speaking for IUA or Three Valleys, but the path two certainly is another way that we can go for the main San Gabriel Basin and Upper District's customers to still achieve compliance with the Met actions and be able to sustain our groundwater basin through the end of the year. So path one, these are either or, is move to 1 day a week watering effective June 1st. There is a possibility that that would need to go to eliminating all outdoor watering around September 1st. But that depends on the water supply situation and the demand response. If going to 1 day a week watering in those areas does get a sufficient demand reduction, they may not have to move to the no days a week watering. But if it doesn't and water supply conditions deteriorate, then they may need to move to eliminating or prohibiting all outdoor water use. But even so, if that still doesn't get enough reduction of demands where supplies are going to be limited, then those agencies who are moving on path one would need to move over to the volumetric limits. So the volumetric limits are essentially, here's how much water Metropolitan has, and they will allocate that based on population and other factors to those member agencies who are depending on state project supplies. And if we are able to live within those volumetric limits, then we will not be assessed a penalty. And so go to the next slide. I think I want to go into more detail on that. All right, let's move on. By the way, the penalty is 2,000 acre feet, $2,000 per acre foot for any state project deliveries if we're not in compliance with any of these restrictions. Next slide. Click through at least one more slide. Okay, next slide. Next slide. So these are some important exceptions. So it's important to note that under the health and safety supplies criteria, there is an allowance for watering for fire prevention. So one thing you don't want to have happen, especially if you're on up on the foothills, is for the trees and shrubs in the yard to get so dry they are potentially a fire hazard. So hand watering of trees and other perennials is allowed to keep those alive. Drip irrigation systems can operate as long as they're equivalent. Their total use during the week is equivalent to a 1 day per week water. And most drip irrigation systems are set up such that, you know, their normal watering during a week is not much more than one day a week using spray irrigation. There is requirements for enforcement provisions and conditions and exceptions if outdoor watering use is banned. So part of the discussion is functional turf. What do we do with our you know, sports fields, you know, as part of our communities, is that considered health and safety? And so that's something that's being taken into consideration here. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, next slide. All right. So this is an initial estimate. These aren't final numbers, but this is the estimate under path two, which is the volumetric allocation, is how much water would be allocated to each of the agencies. And with upper district, and by the way, you'll note that the population number is not quite consistent with our most recent census data. That's a question that has been posed to Metropolitan. But based on that, our allocation would be about 2,100 acre feet per month. What is not clear is whether we would need to take that on a monthly basis, or could we, since we still have water in the basin and we normally make our replenishment deliveries in the fall, could we accumulate that 2,100 acre feet a month over 4 or 5 months and have it all delivered in October, November, and December? So that's something we're working on. But this is over a period of 7 months, so that's a little under 15,000 acre feet that could be available for upper district service area for our replenishment obligations. And I'll show the key well chart and projection a little later so we can put that number into context of what it means for our basin. Next slide, and maybe go to the okay, this is the governor's executive order. I won't go into detail on that. Why don't you go to the slide with the board actions, option one. It's a few slides down. There it is. So this is what Metropolitan Board adopted. They declared a water shortage emergency condition exists in the state project dependent area. They adopted the framework of the two paths, the 1 day a week watering or the volumetric allocation. Water conservation program, authorized their general manager to finalize that program consistent with that framework, and also expressed support for the governor's executive order N-7-22. So I'll stop there and see if the directors have any question or discussion, but I do want to share with you the Keywell forecast, what this means for the main San Gabriel Basin and for Upper District, and then discuss what's our path forward. So any questions at this point from directors?
Yeah, Tom?
Yes.
It's Tony. One of the things, too, is that there is no restrictions on recycled water. How does that help us?
So those areas where our recycled water system serves, they are still able to use that recycled water unrestricted for the irrigation of parks, city halls, wherever they're using that water, it is unrestricted. So they will not need to have a 1 day a week watering restriction if they're receiving recycled water deliveries.
Very serious.
Yes. All right. Can we bring up the Keywell chart?
This is Steve. The allocation that you brought up, has it gone down? We talked before about it being a little higher than that, but apparently it's gone down a little bit.
Great question, Steve. It was potentially as high as 17,000 acre feet over that 7 month period. But what I believe Metropolitan is wrestling with is, you know, I think that 17,000 acre feet, and if you do that allocation on all the state project dependent areas,
that
would potentially fully exhaust all of their reserves by the end of December. And I think what they've done is revised that and lowered that amount just to hold at least some water back in reserve. In the event conditions get worse or next year is a dry year. But Steve, that's still under discussion. You noted in the presentation there, this is the estimate.
Right.
Those numbers are still being worked on. But at this point, it looks like it's, I would doubt we would get more than 15,000 acre feet out of this.
Yeah. Okay. And I thought, Tom, when we talked before that, just verifying, this does not include direct deliveries. This is our replenishment water.
That's correct. And that's an important distinction. So a few of our customers in Upper District service area do receive treated water that we deliver to them through Metropolitan system. And all that treated water is currently coming from the Colorado River water supplies and therefore is not subject to these restrictions. But as you know, those connections don't supply 100% of the needs to those customers. They also pump groundwater, which does create a dependence on state project water.
Right.
So it's a detail we got to work out with our producers when we continue our conversation with them this afternoon.
Thank you, Tom.
So what I should do is have somebody else jump in on this because my voice is going, but I'll keep going. Stetson has provided us with projections of where will the key well go. And for those of, I know the board knows, but the Baldwin Park key well is our primary measurement of our groundwater supply in the main San Gabriel Basin. Is so, this shows the key well over the past couple of years. The black line is, as of March 25th, it was at 180 feet. And this is the projection of where it will go to over the course of the next several months, if nothing changes. So this is based on, dry conditions. We're now out of the rainy season, dry conditions. It's based on normal demands, about 190,000 acre feet. Groundwater production. You'll see just to the right of that black line, there is a little uptick in the key well elevation. That represents water that LA County is currently releasing from Morris Dam and delivering to the Santa Fe spreading grounds to percolate back into the groundwater basin. That was estimated at 2,300 acre feet. Some of those deliveries are still occurring. I got a note from the county staff yesterday, because we did get a decent rainstorm near the end of March, and we had that surprise thunderstorm come through the area last week. They're anticipating they'll actually release about 29,000 acre feet. And so that extra 6,000 acre feet is almost an additional foot in the key well. So, that will help. So that additional 6,000 acre feet is not included in this projection. But regardless, it does project the key well will hit the critically low level, which is the historical low of 169 feet around the end of October. So not quite getting us through the end of the calendar year. What do we need to do to take care of that? Well, that 6,000 acre feet, hopefully, if it is delivered, will buy us about a half a month, about three weeks. And then if we can get production down to closer to 180,000 acre feet, that'll get us into hopefully December. And if we, and then the remaining balance, from that allocation from Metropolitan, we could take that 15,000 acre feet, and that would be sufficient with some decent conservation in our service area to get us through the end of the calendar year. In addition to conservation, we are working with those producers that have those treated water connections to increase their use of Metropolitan treated Colorado River water and thereby reduce their pumping from the groundwater basin, which will certainly help this forecast that I'm showing you now. Also, as the board is aware, we are continuing to work with Metropolitan, LA County Public Works, in preparation of documentation that we can share with the state to get regulatory approval so that we could take untreated Colorado River water as replenishment water in the San Gabriel River. And so those efforts are continuing. We hope that we're successful within a couple of months of getting that regulatory approval. And then we'd be able to take Colorado River water to meet our supply needs for the basin management.
Yes, yesterday, Tom, both Director Sutley and myself spoke at the board meeting our need for Colorado River water. And in his final statement, Adele spoke that that he will help us. And that will be one of his goals, to make sure that we get some Colorado River water into the basin.
Tom, Mr. President, I'd like to make a comment. It's Director Trevino. Regarding the situation, it seems we're always in a volatile situation on the state water project. It really fluctuates a lot, and we can't depend on that. My statement is that the Metropolitan Board narrowly approved $20 million over the next 5 years to continue planning for the construction of the Sites Reservoir, which is located north of Sacramento, which everybody knows. However, 0.5% of the approved MET rate increase is for this purpose. 0.5%, rather. The outstream reservoir would be used to store surplus water during favorable hydrological years for releases to help the environment. Emphasis on the environment. Metropolitan would also be allowed to store surplus supplies for release in dry years. And I put surplus supplies in parentheses. However, over the past 30 years, Metropolitan has contributed over $500 million to similar initiatives to benefit the Bay Delta wildlife habitat. While our ability to increase the percentage of Southern California's entitlement has decreased on water from the State Water Project. This is because conditions in the Bay Delta are deteriorating, and the State Water Control Resource Control Board has taken actions to restrict the windows of time when water can be diverted to Southern California. That is further impeding the ability to bring water south. MWD pays over $200 million per year for an entitlement of over 2 million acre feet. Yet, our average annual deliveries are 800,000 acre feet. So, and it's declining, as Tom, you've indicated. So, I think, and also given the lack of progress in reaching agreements with the environmentalists, the tribes, and on the proposed Delta plan or Delta tunnel, I really believe, given this situation, that MET would be better served to spend money on local projects in Southern California than spending those kind of monies on projects that are 25, 30 years in the making at North, Sites Reservoir being one of them. The Delta is a situation that's going to require a lot of patience and a lot of time. And given some of the situations that we face now, I think whatever we do as a board, I think one of the things that we should state is that we believe that MED's money would be better spent on local projects. Thank you.
I agree with you on that, but except we just can't let Sites Reservoir go at this point, I think. And Adele is really pushing for storage on the Bay Delta. And one of my action plans today is going to be that we meet with Congressman Garamendi when we go back to Washington in July to talk about Sites Reservoir. The problem with the Bay Delta is that every time we get a new governor, things change. We waste millions and millions of dollars. And Adele has been meeting with water officials and Crowfoot and others in Sacramento almost weekly to talk about MWD's allocation on the Colorado River. And I believe he's going to get some successes this year. But Tom, I'd like to, do you want an action plan just to throw out for discussion?
Well here's what I want to suggest. So we'll continue our dialogue with our customers and Watermaster, the producers, about what the action MET has taken, our path forward under those two paths, one day a week watering or living within an allocation, what's our best approach forward. But I think what I'd like the board to do is direct staff to continue those efforts and bring back to the board potential action. It might be a change in our water shortage contingency plan level or other actions that we might need to take based on our conversation with our customers and Watermaster. And along with that, given MET's actions, since there are potential penalties, if we're not able to live within that framework, we should do that at a public hearing and adopt actions not only that move us towards the water conservation measures, but also enable us to pass through any penalties that we may incur in the process.
I do think right now, though, we should really concentrate on, there's only two things that we could do right now. One is conservation, and set a goal for conservation, whether it be 15% or 20%. The other thing is Colorado River water. And I think those two things we really have to start moving on as quickly as possible. And this has to be serious messaging to reduce further conservation. And I think this year at, I know our Region 8 Aqua is going to be doing a session on creative messaging. And next month at MET, D-Zinc is going to release information on how MET is going to be handling this. MET is going to be putting in, I think, $43 million this fiscal year in conservation. But I think those two things are something that we have to work on earnestly as we prepare a great action plan. And so I'd like you to keep that in mind, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, if I may, I think those two things are very important. And I agree with Director Fellow in pushing for the conservation message for the San Gabriel Basin.
I want to echo those conservation sentiments. And I just had a question for Tom. I know we have a really amazingly robust social media team and getting out the information about conservation. So what is our plan and our goal to educate our residents about the ongoing drought and everything that's happening right now?
Okay, I'm going to ask Patty to respond to that, and I'm going to go get a sip of water so I can continue talking.
Good morning, directors. I'll try to speak as clearly as I can. We are allocating our member agency funds. So we've been able to pull $120,000 of our member agency allocation to utilize that for additional outreach to our residents. And so yesterday, I did meet with a consultant that we're working on. So we're in the final stages of finalizing that message. We've already lined up about $80,000 worth of billboard and transit shelter ads that will take place starting in about 2 weeks. And that'll be located all throughout our service area. And we will continue that all the way into July at this point. That's just with that initial allocation From that campaign that we're generating, we will also have additional social media programs. We are looking to see if we could possibly bring back some of our older conservation programs. You'll recall at one time we had a plant voucher program, so we thought that could kind of that could balance very nicely with the additional turf rebate dollars that Metropolitan is offering. We are at the tail end of our Water Smart Home program, and so we are seeing that, you know, there is a need to continue that, so we will bring it back in an additional framework to reach more of our customer base. So those are the actions that we're taking right now. It's kind of a good timing because we are at the start of a new fiscal year, both for us and for Metropolitan. So we'll have an additional use of all those member agency dollars come July 1st. And we can continue having a robust outreach campaign well into the fall.
And Ms. Cortez?
Yeah.
I hope you feel better. But, you know, Jennifer, Director Santana and I had a great webinar last year on the foothill cities about preventing fires and really telling the public the facts about the problems with the fires. And we had a great guest speaker. And I was wondering if we could, those of us that want to, if we can renew that again, and that gets directly to the people, if we can publicize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can definitely look at doing town halls for each of the directors to outreach to your cities. I will say that last week when we had a Water 101 seminar for our elected official offices and then also for some of our city council members, it was very well attended. It was specifically to give a overview of our local water supply, but also Tom and Kelly from WaterMaster really focused on our local water supply conditions and talking about what the proposed actions at Metropolitan would mean for our region. So there was interest from that group to continue the conversation. You know, obviously not all of our cities were represented at that meeting, but it was definitely part of our plan to host another one either virtually or in person again, so that we can bring our city council members back into the room so that we can continue having that. And I'll also note that at the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments meeting, it was requested that Upper District provide a drought presentation to the COG at their next meeting. And so I know that Tom's already been contacted to arrange that. So as far as engagement to our cities, you know, we are being very proactive, but we will definitely look at doing some type of town hall event for each of the directors over the summer months.
Now, this Sunday, I spent some time with Councilman Larry Spicer in Monrovia. We talked, because I was very interested in their finding residents who use too much water. And he says it seems to be working, but I'd like to bring him into the fold, too, to see what citizens are saying. There are some problems, but they seem to have it underhand. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Cortez.
You're welcome.
So is there any other questions from directors? I don't know if, Tom, if you returned and if you need to discuss more of the presentation. No.
I think just to wrap up, so right now we're focused on these near-term efforts, conservation, making our supplies last under the situation, but we are also continuing to work on the long-term solutions, including delivery of Colorado River water for replenishment, and then the ultimate long-term solution for at least our service area is the completion of the regional recycle water project to bring recycled water up for our groundwater replenishment needs. And that would almost fully eliminate our dependence on state project water. But of course, that's 8 to 10 years away. So we got to get through the next 8 to 10 years and manage through this situation. But appreciate the board's comments and support. And we'll continue to move forward and work on these solutions. Thank you.
Okay. And Tom, do you need any further direction, or do you have enough to go with at this time?
No, we have sufficient to go with at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Any final comments from directors on this topic?
Yes, President Chavez, if I could.
Yes, please go.
I just want to mention that with the conservation, with the public outreach is also very important. I remember I know this is a very dire situation right now. I remember in 2016 when we had the very severe drought. This was before I was on the board. I just remember the messaging everywhere. So if we can get something like that back, I think it would really help the public to understand the situation we're in. And that's important for conservation as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. With that, we'll go to item number seven, which is informational items, press releases and news articles that you may read at your leisure. Item number eight, we have the attorney's report, but just want to give the board a heads up that I will be stepping out of this meeting, and Vice President Jennifer Santana will be taking over after the attorney's report. So, Mr. O'Neill, are you available?
This is Christine Carson. I'm filling in for Stephen O'Neill, a partner with Al Sharon Winder. I don't have anything to report. I just wanted to introduce myself, and Stephen indicated he didn't have anything to report. So.
Okay. We'll go to item number nine, engineer's report. And Jennifer, can you take over from here?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is Steve Johnson with Stetson. And thank you, Vice President Santana, since you've taken over. A pretty short report. Tom just gave a very extensive discussion report on our situation. And part of my report talks about the hydrologic conditions, and they're very consistent with what Tom reported. A couple of items. The key well, and Tom described the key well very well. So I think we all know what it is or where it is. The key well was measured on April 22nd at 184.1. It did come up 0.9 feet from the almost a foot from the prior week. So we are seeing some bounce back from the local deliveries that Tom described, and we're still seeing right now a little less than 60 CFS coming into San Gabriel from those storms. So we're still seeing some inflow, which is good. Tom described that we may get a little more water out of this, more than the 23,000, maybe up to like 29,000 acre feet of local water. Just to point out the dire conditions, even though rainfall this year locally at Puddingstone is about 64% of long-term average, our local runoff is down around 20% of long-term. And that's just what happens when we get multiple dry years, is even though 64% doesn't sound that bad, it's so dry that the water just doesn't run off the watershed. We don't get the water. So it's one thing to say we're at 64% on rainfall, but it's way worse to look at less than 20% of local runoff into our reservoirs for replenishing our basin. So downtown LA, they're about 84% of long-term average. Real quick on the water quality during March, there were 21 wells sampled under the Title 220 program for the producers, the water master samples. We do the field work and the administrative work, but it's done for the water master with their administrative assessments. And then in February, back in February, 73 wells were sampled under the same program. And we didn't receive any notices of new wells being shut down affected by contamination. So that's my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Vice President Santana.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have any questions for Steve Johnson? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the general manager's report.
Well, the only thing I will add is just give you a brief update on the new office building construction. It continues to proceed. Contractor is moving with all due diligence. There are a few things. We did have a little bit of a challenge in that the building inspector had pointed out our occupancy for the boardroom might not meet the structural code. That was reviewed by the structural engineer working for our architect and the city building official. They have come to a conclusion on that. While the structural supports under the boardroom are sufficient to handle a loading of approximately 80 or 90 people, We have agreed with the city. We'd put an occupancy limit of about 49 on that so that it didn't require us to move into some major structural improvements to the building. And we've talked about it. We feel that we can make that work, and we'll talk about that a little more further at our next Water Resources and Facility Management Committee meeting. There's probably about, at this time, about a 1 week, perhaps 2 week delay in the construction completion for, frankly, legitimate reasons. And so that kind of puts us into the middle of July as a potential completion and move in. And with that, given what we talked about earlier, I don't have anything else to present.
All right. Do we have any questions for Tom? Okay. Thank you, Tom. Moving on to director's comments. And we'll start with Director Fellow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There were two big headlines coming out of the yesterday's MWD meeting. One was the declaration of water shortage emergency and other MWD's responses to this, to the state audit. And Thomas gave a very thorough report about the drought conditions. So I'd like to just brief you, as I did Water Master, on a report on state audit responses of activities that met from 2004 to 2021. And I'll just go through, it's a long report, but I'll just pick out some of the key issues. First, the key findings were, one, that MWD's failure to address EEO issues has negatively affects its employees, and specific issues deal with MET not dedicating sufficient attention or resources to EEO policy or its EEO office, and employees can be subject to potentially unsafe working circumstances for unnecessarily long periods of time. The second was MWD resisted implementing an equitable and accountable hiring process since the last state audit. And these specific issues deal with it gives significant discretion to individual hiring managers, lacks transparency, and cannot demonstrate that hiring decisions are equitable. And the third was that MWD has not done enough to correct issues with the structure of ethics office and its aging employee housing. And specific issues deal with management has interfered with ethics office independent functions. It has not effectively addressed serious issues threatening the habitability of its employee housing, particularly at the desert. And there's been long periods that they've had to wait for maintenance requests. MWD has really with speed is responding to these. They have a certain amount of time and certain months to get these things done. But let me just read you some of the responses as a summary. In the area of ethics, MWD is revising its administrative code that prohibits interested parties from participating in the office's investigative process except when necessary. In the area of EEO, Met is developing written procedures on how complaints will be handled and the sharing of results. In the area of safety, they're trying to ensure the handling of safety complaints and define retaliation and document protection from retaliation. In the area of hiring, MWD is adopting and publishing comprehensive formal hiring procedures. In the area of housing, MWD is looking at improved procedures for responding to maintenance requests and establishing procedures for regular reporting to the board. And there'll be more visits out to the desert areas, especially to deal with complaints that deal with management employees or members of the board of directors. In the area of the EEO office, we have developed an EEO office that met and procedures and policies also will be done shortly. In the area of hiring, managers will be trained and by human resource staff on their roles and responsibilities. And also, I should mention that an EEO officer, Joanna Wisdom, started her first day at MET April 18th. And the new DEI officer, Lega Thomas, will start on May 9th. So those have been accomplished. In the areas of credibility, there will be a management forums and training will take place at MET, and all employees and managers will be taking sexual harassment and prevention courses. And also, I think all non-elected directors should be taking those courses. In the area of housing, there's going to be focused outreach and individual calls, as I mentioned, to the desert facilities. And in the area of safety, the health and safety employee manual will be updated, and collaboration is being done with the National Safety Council to identify further improvements to MWD safety program. One of the most interesting things coming out of this is that Dell wants all directors, which they haven't been in the past, to be informed of all complaints, whether it's complaints of directors abusing staff or whatever, and complaints dealing with staff. These will all now go to the full board for briefings. And yesterday, one of the directors asked for a history of complaints that met. So a busy day yesterday from 9 to 6. So it was all accomplished. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Fella. Moving on to Director Garcia.
I just want to say that I am looking forward to all the creative solutions that we come up with in order to convey the ideas and importance of conservation to our residents. I think we've done a good job in the past, and I think if we keep going in the future, our residents will be open and willing, hopefully, to make those changes in their lives, to think about all the ways to conserve. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of our creative solutions at Upper District.
Thank you. Hey, Director
Trevino. Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Director Fella, for that report on the ethics, on the state audit findings. You're absolutely right. The auditor concluded that MET never implemented needed ethics and EEO reforms going back to 2004. There was an absence of leadership on the board, both at the director level and at the staff level. And it's unfortunate that we've gotten to this point. You would think that this would be common sense, that we would address these issues, but unfortunately, common sense is not very common. And so I hope, my hope is that that the ethics office be turned into an independent general counsel, not general counsel, but independent inspector general, rather. I'm sorry, inspector general, much like Metro has next door. They need that type of independence. I think it's extremely important. The other thing, too, on the housing, in 2019, when I was on the board, we approved $11 million to fix up 80 homes. And I know recently there was more money allocated for that project. I would like to know, maybe that you can ask for a thorough accounting of that money, because it really should not cost that much. I just, and the progress has been dismal. Employees are still calling me and getting back to me on some of the issues that were there. So I would like to know, what has happened with all the money that we've allocated for housing? If you can find out, Director Fowler. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Trevino. My comments are just, I want to thank Tom for the presentation on the water supply update. And we had mentioned conservation. We could talk a lot about that. And just to mention that in the last meeting, I did also support the efforts to get the Colorado River water, take advantage of the fact that is a very good water source right now. And I want to reiterate that. So that's all from me. Moving on to future agenda items. Do we have any? Okay, seeing none, we have no closed session. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, sorry, we will go on to the adjournment, and that is it.